desire your prayers. You know, us poor old preachers, we spend the week praying, asking the Lord what He wants to give to the congregation, to the people. And He's been faithful for many years for me. He's been very faithful. He seems to know what is needed, and He knows how to even use a poor old vessel to bring it out. I want to talk about the withering work of the Spirit a little bit this morning. That's what I have entitled this, the withering work of the Spirit. When you and I got saved, the Lord found us in all different walks of life, and different areas. He found some of us with a lot of understanding, maybe some with a little understanding. But I want you to think about this morning that the Lord, salvation is a process. The Lord brings us through a process. I thought of the scripture when the Lord was speaking to Jeremiah. He said, I have set thee this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Now the Lord, that's Jeremiah 1 and 10. The Lord knows what it's going to take for every one of us to get us to heaven. And I'm glad He does. And I trust that. So I'd like for you to consider for just a little bit some thoughts that we have on our hearts. God is a God of order, isn't He? We see that in His creation. We see that in everything that He's done, even the plan of salvation was prophesied and brought to pass through His Son. He's a God of order, because without order, what do you have? You have chaos. You just got, when it comes to people, you've got people doing anything and everything that their mind tells them to do. So you and I need order then, don't we? We need order in our life. Order, to use a little different word for order, I want to use the word discipline. Discipline, kind of hard on the flesh. Children, they need it. They don't want it, but they need it. You and I, as children of God, we need it too. And the more that we exercise ourselves, discipline, the less God has to exercise discipline. We need to do what we can then. Now there's things that we can do and there's things that we cannot do. When it comes to you and I, we have an external man. We have an internal man. So when it comes to the externals, we can take care of ourselves as far as maybe, if I can say, hygiene, our cleanliness, the neatness. We need to have a little order in our life and how we take care of things and in our home. There needs to be some order, but that's all external. The internal is what God deals with. When He saves us, He works on the internal. And inadvertently, as He deals and works on the internal, or the soul or the heart of a man, the externals will come into place, won't they? The externals will find where they're supposed to be. So the internal then is making sure, and this is my desire, that God is pleased with me. And whatever that I do, and how I handle myself and handle life as it comes to me. Sometimes we get focused on the externals, and we can get so rigid about some things, but lack self-control over other things. For instance, it seems to be pretty much a natural for man today, overeating, excess. Let's just say it that way. Excess in life, in spending. Excess in living. People are are excessive in the way that they handle life today. No control, no temperance. And that's what God works, those are the things that God works on us internally. The temperance, the patience, the kindness, the gentleness. You know, we can be faithful in our devotions, but we can treat our neighbors unkind. So God wants to work with the whole man and bring it all together to where that we are living in a way that He's pleased with us. Now, I didn't say that everybody, that people were going to be pleased with us, but I want to live the Word. God is going to be pleased with my life in everything that we do. When I try to deal with the internal things, I can work as hard as I want to work, and I can struggle as hard as I want to struggle, but I still cannot force myself to do things in a way that would please God. I want to lay a foundation here. In order for me to be successful in living for the Lord, I've got to let Him deal with the internal things. And He's left it to me to deal with the external things. There's a process that God has in working on every one of us, with every one of us. Sometimes when I'm working on myself and I'm trying to deal with the internal things, I can find myself to be contentious instead of gracious, because I haven't got the proper graces to bring self under control. If I'm not careful, I can be more critical of those that are around me, blaming them for my struggles with life to please God. Let's remember this, folks. Adam and Eve started the blame game. It's been going on ever since. But you and I, in order to be successful in living for the Lord, we've got to stop this blame game. We've got to quit blaming somebody else because I can't live right. If it wasn't for so-and-so, I could live right. If it wasn't for so-and-so, I just need special grace or patience with so-and-so. We've got to quit the blame game. And we got to put the responsibility on ourselves. Discipline. You and I want to be disciples of Christ. It means that we're going to have some discipline within ourselves. Now, the external man can never bring about control over the internal man. People can say, I live a good life, I'm a moral person, I treat everybody good, I don't cuss, I don't drink, I don't do this and I don't do that, but it still cannot change the internal man. It takes salvation to do that, doesn't it? It takes the blood of Jesus to do that. So, you and I, through all this that I'm talking about, we handle and deal with adversities in life. And I brought a message on adversity not long ago. Some people handle it pretty good. Some people don't. And consequently, it kind of tells what's going on with the internal man, whether we handle it right or we handle it wrong. Now, I want to give you a couple of examples. One of them quickly is Esau over in the Old Testament. When he came back in from hunting in the fields and he was hungry and he got offered some soup for his birthright, he just went ahead and said, I'm hungry, and he gave up his birthright, didn't he? He didn't handle things too well. He wasn't a very disciplined young man. He did not put priority on what was important. He thought his flesh was more important than his inheritance. Folks, my inheritance this morning, my inheritance, the hope that I have in Jesus Christ is much more important to me than my flesh. And Paul found that out. He said he died daily and he worked with the flesh and he knew, he put the priority of what was really important. And Paul is my other example that I want to give you for dealing with adversities. Folks, when he got struck down, when he was struck down on the Damascus Road, that wasn't the end of the process that God had in working with Paul. God had a process in working with Paul, and it involved being beaten with stripes. It involved being shipwrecked. It involved being stoned and left for dead. It involved a lot of those things for Paul. And that he went through that, and he handled that, and he allowed God to work His withering work in his heart and in his life is what caused Paul or helped Paul to be the success that he was. I don't know that I want to, I'm not going to stand here and say that I want to have to go through everything Paul did, but I want to be successful in living for the Lord. And I know you do too. Now, I don't believe that he learned discipline by fighting against or striving against God. We're never going to get discipline by striving for ourselves, for our rights, and blaming others. That's not the way we get discipline. Now, I used this scripture not long ago. I want to use it again this morning real quickly. The writer said, or God said, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. If you look up the Hebrew rendering of what is said here, be still means to cease from striving. The Lord wants you and I to cease from striving. He wants you and I to quit trying to make ourselves as best as we can make and turn it over to the Lord and let Him work the withering work process of the Spirit in your heart and life. The only way that it's going to happen, folks. Now, be still means to stop striving. To know that I am God is a rendering. The rendering of the word know is the same meaning as when a man in the Old Testament time, when we would read that he knew his wife. When he came to his wife and he knew her. It was an intimate relationship. It was an intimate time. Be still and know God intimately. That's the way I want to know God this morning. Not casually as the world does. And as a lot of the church world does. But I want to know Him. I want to stop striving within myself. And I want to know how to please God. So discipline then is really about knowing God. That's what discipline is. If we know Him, if we truly know Him, we'll understand Him and we'll know the process that He uses to work in our hearts and in our lives. Discipline, knowing God. Placing myself, if you will. Placing myself in front of God. And allowing Him to transform me every day, every hour, and with every interaction that He has with me. And everything that I face. And you know, I'll just put this in here. We deal with life a lot differently when we're tired, when we're aggravated, when we're in a hurry and our patience are running short. We deal with things differently, don't we? So Lord, help us to slow down. And Lord, help us to learn how to submit and humble ourselves to God in every situation, in every circumstance that we have to deal with. Placing myself now in front of God and saying, God, I want You to do the withering work, to send the withering work of Your Spirit in my life. To make me a vessel that will honor You, to serve and please and glorify You in my life. Now, you and I have a will. We know about our wills, don't we? The will has the same deficiency as the law does. The law could not save us. It was a means of bringing us to Christ. The will can only deal with the externals. It's the only thing it can deal with. You have a will. And with that will, you can say no to God, and God will respect that. But the will can only deal with the external man. It cannot deal with your heart. It can't deal with that. Only God can deal with your heart. The devil can't deal with your heart. Only the devil can deal with the externals. Only the devil can deal with the flesh. God can deal with the heart. And that's where this has to start. That's where it all has to start in our salvation and living for God. The will is incapable of bringing about the necessary transformation of the inner man, of the inner spirit. So when we see striving to gain inner relationship or a transformation of ourselves through the human powers of will and determination, we cannot determine ourselves to do this. It's going to take the withering work of the Spirit to do it. The inner righteousness that you and I have this morning, if we have the man's righteousness, is his filthy rags. But if we have righteousness in our hearts, within ourselves this morning, it's a gift from God, and it is to be graciously received. So the interchange then that we have is not of ourselves, but it is of God. Now, with all that being said, I'd like to turn to the 40th chapter of Isaiah and read a familiar scripture. I'll begin at the third verse. Isaiah 40:3, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain." In order for this to be done, it must happen within the inner man. It must happen in the eternal. And only God can bring this to pass in our lives and cause us to be fruitful and cause us to be vessels to honor to Him. But He said here plainly, every valley will be exalted. When you humble yourself, the Scripture, New Testament says, you will be exalted, didn't He? And He said, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. If you exalt yourself, you will be abased. That's the New Testament Scripture. And He said, the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. The Lord wants His salvation to be very plain to every one of us. He hasn't given it to us in a shroud. He hasn't given it to us in a hidden thing. But He has made His salvation open and plain for each and every one of us. Even a little child can receive this. Even a little child can understand His salvation. But you and I, sometimes we get the idea. And folks, I know what I'm talking about. The Lord's had to work with me down through the years, and He's still working with me. But we get the idea there's something I can do to make myself better. Folks, only what the Lord can do for you and I can make us more fruitful for Him. It's going to take Him to do that. Now He said, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And the voice said, cry. And He said, what shall I cry? All flesh. Now that's you and I this morning, isn't it? The flesh. All flesh is as grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. He said, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. You know, our goodliness and anything that you and I can do through self-righteousness or self-vainglory, anything that we do is going to fade like the flower. It's not going to stand the withering work of the Spirit of God upon us. And so he's saying here, the grass withereth, people wither. And he said, the flower fadeth because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Now what does wither mean? Withering means, in simple language, withering means to cut down or to destroy. And that's what I read, what God told Jeremiah over there, when I send you out before the nations, I'm going to have you cut down, I'm going to have you destroy. But he didn't leave it at that. He said, I want you to plant and I want you to build up. That's what God wants to do with us. When he saves us, folks, he saves us from ourselves. We're saved from ourselves. I can't blame my wife. I can't blame my children. I can't blame anyone else for the destructive path that I was taking in life. I was taking a destructive path. I was going down the path to hell. And God saved me from myself. And I'm so grateful for that this morning. Withering means to cut down or to destroy. And that's the work that God wants to do in each and every one of our lives. James, the disciple James said over there in one place, he said, our life is just a vapor, didn't it? Have you ever seen the tea kettles on the stove and the steam coming out or anything? You know, the vapor, it comes out, you see it just for a moment, don't you? And then it's gone. Folks, our life is just for a moment. We don't even, any of us here, have a promise of tomorrow. We don't know what life is going to hold for any one of us. It's temporary. And we're in this tent. We're in this flesh here that is corruptible. And he said, it's going to wither and it's going to blow up and it's going to go away. But folks, God has given us something within this old flesh that he wants to wither, that he wants to bring down, he wants to have control of, that will cause you and I, if we'll let him do the withering work in our hearts and in our life, take our hands off of it, and we allow him to do the work, folks, it'll cause you and I to enjoy our salvation in a greater way and in a greater measure. It'll cause you and I to have the joy, the glory, and the power of God in our life to be everything that God wants you and I to be. If we allow him to do the withering work. I'm thankful for the Spirit this morning. Our life is brief. It's frail, isn't it? Our life is frail. Tomorrow, one of us may get up and find something that's come onto our body or something's happened to our body that'll take us out of here. We don't know. We don't know about those things, but it's temporary. I do know that. And I do know that life is uncertain at best. Don't know what I'm going to deal with. Don't know what I'm going to face. It's uncertain, folks. But I know someone that understands all about me. I know someone that loves me. I know someone that loves you, folks. He loved you so much that while you were yet sinners, he died for you. Isn't that wonderful this morning to know that when I didn't deserve it, when I didn't love him, didn't know him, didn't give him the time of day, he still died for me. And he gave his life for me. Isn't that wonderful? And then when he saves me, he will go to all lengths, folks, to work in our hearts. Because he wants the internal man right. When you get the internal man right, or the eternal man right, folks, everything else will fall into place. The external man will do what the Spirit teaches him to do. Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away, that I send the Spirit, and he will lead you and guide you, didn't he? He will lead you and guide you into all truth. He knows your makeup. He knows your personality. He knows your shortcomings. He knows your weaknesses, folks. He knows those things. But I'm thankful this morning I can trust the Holy Spirit to work a withering work in your heart and in your life to bring you to the place that God wants you to be. I can trust the Spirit to do that. I don't have to get in the Spirit's way. I don't have to do the Spirit's job. Oh, I've had people come to me down through the years and say, Brother Larry, people that I've been very close to, If you see anything or the Lord shows you anything that you need to come and talk to me about, I said, well, don't hold your breath. I don't do those kind of things because I believe in the Spirit of God. I believe in the withering work of the Spirit. The writer said here, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but he said, the word of our God shall stand forever. God in His faithfulness to your soul and His faithfulness to my soul will bring you to the place that He wants you to get to if you allow Him to do the withering work in your heart and life. Folks, withering means surrendering. Surrendering. Lord, here it is. I've tried it. I've struggled it. I remember, and I've told this before, there was years ago, there was a young woman, a young girl, I should say, in her like 18, 19 years old, becoming a woman. And she was struggling so much and got discouraged a lot, up and down and all of that. And I asked her one day, we was getting ready to go into the chapel, over in our old chapel, the old building that we was in. And I said, Edith, I said, how you doing? She said, well, I'm trying, Brother Larry. I said, well, you stop trying and you let the Lord take over. You let the Lord do the work. You stop struggling. Stop striving. Be still. And let the Lord do the work in your life. Folks, I don't know how it all happened, but she got a hold of that. Bless her heart. She gave everything to God and she was an example to the church. She died at a young age trusting God. She had diabetes real bad. She would not do anything but trust God. She got a hold of it, folks. I had the privilege to drive all the way down to Louisiana. And when I got there, they said the family wanted me to do the graveside. And I had the privilege to speak at a graveside service, folks. But I want to tell you, glory to God for the withering work that He did on her heart and in her life. To give her the grace. To have power, the grace, and the faith to trust God. She trusted Him, folks. Why don't you quit struggling? Why don't you just give up and let the Lord do the work? Folks, that's what we're going to have to do. The withering work of the Spirit. We're just going to have to let Him do what He wants to do if we want to be successful in our Christian walk with the Lord. And I'm sure that we do. I think about the Pharisees when the Lord came in His day. He came to His own, didn't He? He came to the Jews. There was a lot of Pharisees and Sadducees and all those kind of things in Jesus' day. And poor old Pharisees, they were so lifted up. They were so prideful in their hearts. Prideful in their religion. Saints, don't get prideful in your religion. Don't get holier than thou. Don't go around trying to make people think you're holier than they are, that you're better than them. Just live a humble life. Just live a life surrendered to God and let them make the decision just how holy you really are. Just let them make that decision. The Pharisees, they took a defensive position against Christ. Remember that. They took a defensive position against Christ and they rejected His word, didn't they? And consequently, they didn't get this great salvation that you and I are enjoying this morning. The work of the Spirit couldn't do the work because they rejected it. Because they were lifted up in their pride. It was all that vainglory they had walking around in them. Jesus couldn't get inside. Couldn't do the work in them. You know when John the Baptist came, what did he say? He said, repent, didn't he? Oh, you're telling us to repent? Well, we're religious people. I mean, Abraham is our father. You're telling us to repent? Folks, that was a scorching wind to the foliage of their exalted nature that they had in their hearts. To repent. That's withering, folks. You and I, Jesus said, except they repent, they shall all likewise perish, didn't He? And He said, for that it's not His will that any should be lost, but that all men should repent And yet, there are people today say, I don't need to repent of anything. I'm not doing anything wrong. Folks, I want to tell you, you examine their life, you watch how they're living, and you're going to find that they're not letting the Lord do the work within. And they're depending on the externals to get them through. The externals are not going to get us through, folks. It's only what He does within our hearts. Jesus and became His work became a destroyer of fleshly religion. I don't want fleshly religion. I don't want to depend on what I can do. I don't want to depend on my ability. I've seen what I can do without the grace of God. And it's not pretty, is it? It's not pretty. But I want the grace of God to do His work. I want the Spirit of God to come. Folks, when the five wise and the five foolish virgins, when the cry came and the bridegroom was coming, the five foolish said, "Give to the wise, give me some of your oil." And they say, "We can't do that, lest there not be enough for us." Folks, we're going to have to get that for ourselves now. For when the bridegroom comes, I don't have any for you. The Lord does. The Lord's got grace for you. The Lord has Spirit for you. What is Spirit? Spirit's breath. That's what Spirit is. That's what our lesson here says. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon him. Surely the people is grass. Folks, why do you reckon that so many out there in the world today set their plans? You know, I went to my granddaughter's graduation a couple weeks ago. Oh, we got the world ahead of us now. We got our foundation, and we're just ready to go out, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And the Lord comes along and blows on it. And none of it's successful. Folks, the Lord knows what's in our hearts. He knows what your makeup is. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you understand. And He will work with you on your understanding. Isn't that wonderful? He's not required to work with you on my understanding. But He'll work with you on your understanding. And He'll do it with patience. And He's long-suffering. And He's gentle, isn't He? And He's kind. And He's loving. Because He cares about our souls. But yet, if we'll open up our hearts and let Him come in and do the withering work, let Him blow upon Larry and get Larry out of the way. This dear old Sister Dorothy out in California said at a Pacoima meeting a few years back, said she was praying and the Lord said that He wanted this and this and this. And she said, "Lord, if You keep it up, there won't be nothing of Dorothy left." And then she stopped. She said, "I realize that's what the Lord wants. He doesn't want anything of Dorothy left. But He wants to do the withering work in our hearts and in our lives." A real work of grace, folks, begins in the soul. It begins in the soul. You want to be successful in your Christian walk with the Lord. Don't think you're going to do it because you can will to do it. Don't think you can do it because you have a lot of wisdom or a lot of understanding. But the work of grace begins in the soul with a pulling down of the strongholds that I have built up in my life. Don't sit there and say, "I don't have any," or "I've never had any strongholds," because we all have. We get strongholds in our minds. We get those ideas in our minds. Folks, we need to submit our ideas, just submit them to God. Give them over to God. Let Him have His way. Let Him do the withering work with His Spirit in our lives. Do you know when the Lord begins to build? He doesn't build on the old foundation. He doesn't build on the old man, folks. He doesn't borrow anything from the old man. He builds anew. He tears down the old foundations. The old foundations of self-righteousness. The old foundations of "I can do this and I can do that and I'm in control of this and I'm in control." He tears it all down. Withering work of the Spirit cut down and to destroy. flesh. That's our biggest enemy, isn't it? It's my biggest enemy. Boy, I can blame things sometimes, maybe on my wife because of something that happened. But really, I'm the culprit. I'm the culprit. Can we face that this morning? I'm the culprit. Now, I don't mean you all tell me I'm the culprit. I'm saying for each one of us to say, you're the culprit. You're the one the Lord's dealing with. You're the one the Lord wants to change. And you know, when the cutting comes, then we need to have the healing, don't we? Generally, when there's cutting, there's blood. But the Lord has healing balm for our souls. For the places that He knocks the prop out of our who we think we are or who we thought we are, and He knocks the props out of those things, He's going to come along and He's going to plant. And He's going to build up. He wants to build up every one of His people. He wants to encourage us all. You know, I don't know if you've had this thought or not, but sometimes before the Spirit does the work in our hearts, sometimes we think of ourselves as pretty good people. That young fellow that came to the Lord said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Told Him all the things. Keep commit. Well, I've done this all my life. I've done it all my life. We tend to think we're pretty good people. And then He went and asked a question. What do I lack? Do I lack anything? The Lord said He lacked some things, didn't He? You know, we may admit that we have faults and that we're not as bad as the Word of God to lead us to think we are. You ever think of it that way? Well, I'm not as bad as the Word says. But flesh is corrupt, folks. We need to wrap our minds around that. Flesh is corrupt. And given its lead, having the lead in our life, having the authority over us, it will destroy us. It will destroy us. We don't want the flesh to destroy us. When the Spirit begins to blow on this old flesh, as we look into the Word of God, we begin to get different ideas about how good we are. We begin to get understanding of how weak we are. We begin to get understanding of how much we really, really need the Lord in every part of our life. Because when the withering process is on, it searches deep into our motives, investigates our actions. Because the Lord wants us to see who we are. Why is it necessary? You know, there's a lot of things God can do with us. And there's a lot of things God can do for us in our walk with Him. But there are some things about us, I'll use me. There are some things about me that God wants me to see so that my will act upon it. You see, I'm not throwing the will completely out, but the will won't change me. But when God shows me what I need changed, and my will acts upon that, and I submit and humble myself or surrender, then God can do the work in my heart. Then, and only then, can God do the work in my heart when I have surrendered that to Him. You know, the Bible, what is it, in Hebrews 4 and 16, something like that? The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, seeking dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Folks, the Spirit of God comes down and He investigates our actions, our motives, why we do what we do. And then when we see who we really are, then I can take that to the Lord and say, Lord, I submit. You see, the will does come into play. When Jesus was in the garden, He said, not my will, but Thy will be done, didn't He? The will does come into place. If grace has begun a work in your soul, And any of the old walls of trusting in yourself or your abilities are still standing, they're going to have to come down sooner or later. They're going to have to come down. And I'm going to have to fall on that altar of sacrifice laid. What does Romans 12 and 1 say? I didn't look it up, but I believe it says something like, present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I believe it says something to that effect. Sooner or later, those old walls that I build up, those walls of protection, whatever they might be, whatever I've trusted in, they're going to fail me. And I'm going to have to let the withering work of the Spirit do His work in my heart, down in my soul. Christ is to become our all in all, our strength, our Savior, complete. Christ is to be our new life. And when we get to that place, God is now. Now God is Spirit and soul and body. Paul said, I bring my body under. I bring it under. When the withering work has done its work on me, and the Lord has showed me what I need to do and what I need to change, what I need to accept, where I need to humble myself, what I need to give up, what I need to cut off. Oh, I'm not saying it doesn't hurt, folks. But I'm saying if you want to have the power and the glory of God come down on your life, and you want to be the vessel that God wants you to be, and you want to bear the fruits to those that are around you, it's going to take that for every one of us. For every one of us. I'm not leaving the preacher out, folks. It takes it for every one of us. When God is Spirit and soul and body, now, divine life has been dropped into the soul, and we now have become spiritual man through and through. When He does that work, now we are spiritual man through and through. The internals are all in place now. God has worked on us. He showed me self. He showed me what I've been dependent on all along, and that's why it hasn't worked. That's why I've struggled. People up and down, up and down. The brother mentioned that in Sunday school. Up and down, up and down. We don't have to be up and down. But we can have the power of God. Christ or God is now Spirit and soul and body. We're filled with the Spirit. Paul said to walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Let me read one more scripture. I know that I didn't have a lot of scripture, so I want to read one more. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. You all know it. Brother Rick's been talking about it in Sunday school. 3rd chapter, 10th verse. John the Baptist said, now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. All flesh is as grass, folks. The Spirit of the Lord blows upon it. Believe me, if He created you, He follows you. He hasn't forgotten about you. I don't care who you are. He hasn't forgotten about you. He's well aware of who you are. Paul said He gives life and breath, didn't He? He gives life and breath, Ed. So He hasn't forgotten about us. But He said, here the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Here, man is likened unto the trees. We're likened it as something that perishes. When you cut a tree down, it perishes, doesn't it? You cut it from its roots. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But He that cometh after me is mightier than I. Can you just imagine John talking to those Pharisees and talking about repentance and how angry that made them? What do you mean repentance? Abraham's our father. But that's what he said, isn't it? He said, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Folks, that's the withering work. When it shows me who I am, it shows me my needs, my shortcomings, my failures. It shows me the weaknesses that's causing me to struggle. People are struggling today. And when it shows me those places, the things that are causing me to struggle, folks, the withering work of the Spirit will bring it to light and bring it to understanding in my mind and in my heart that my will can act upon it and God can do the work. It's going to take God to do the work. Whose fan is in His hand, He will thoroughly, truly purge His floor and gather His wheat into the garner. But He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Folks, God's desire, His design, His plan, is to bring you and I through the fire and to gather us, the wheat, into the garner. But those that refuse to allow this process to work on them, refuse to give it all, surrender. The song in our book, I surrender. We just got to surrender it. We're all different. When He saved us, as I said at the beginning, we come from different walks of life, different understanding, different paths, different upraisings, different teaching, whatever it might be. But God knows how, if we'll let Him, to bring every one of us together into the conformity of His Son and in the unity of His people. That's what God. That's how God makes up this church, folks. Is those that have surrendered and submitted completely over to Him, God makes up His church with those kind of folks. I appreciate the Lord this morning. I'm glad. I'm grateful for how interested He is in me. There isn't any of you in here this morning that's any weaker in the old flesh than I am. There isn't any of you there this morning that needs God any more than I do and dependent upon Him as much as I am, folks. I'm dependent on Him to keep me in line. I'm dependent on Him to keep me straight, but I can't do it through my externals. I've got to let Him work on the eternal man. Internal man, the soul. I'm thankful this morning that He loves us enough to do that. That He cares for us that much. That He put in that much effort or put that much thought, that much love, should I say it that way? That He would go to the lengths that He went through for us. Because it's not His will that any should be lost. I know this morning I don't want to be lost. I know you don't want to be lost. I'm thankful for the withering work of the Spirit upon every one of us. That if we just let God have His way, He'll get us to heaven. I'm convinced of that. He will get us to heaven. And that's what my goal is, to make heaven my home. Pray for me. Amen.